It is the Karellcast. I am Karell. Welcome back after the blackout. For those of you that were watching us on Facebook or reallykarell.com, you saw that right midstream, bam, I went away. That was a blackout. There's a storm blowing through Southern California. It's not really hitting Long Beach that hard, but it must be hitting the surrounding areas hard because our power went out. And it just came back on, and here I am with you. While the power was out, I had the pleasure of interviewing Paulette Moore, who did the film The Spirit of Standing Rock. And the audio is going to be on the show. I was able to do it on my cell phone. So the audio will be here for you in the podcast. And I do have some video of that that I took on my iPad. And I'll post that here on the website, Really Karell, later today. So sorry about that. There was a blackout. We are back on. And we hope you are joining us and you are with us. Because the president this morning was speaking of Boeing. And, you know, the first thing he said that really got me going. And, you know, I don't want to lose viewers. I don't want to lose listeners, okay? I don't want to stand here every day and just bash Trump and you know, tell us how to resist and all of that. I want to just have a good time with you and have fun, but also try to understand what's going on in the world, okay? And this morning this guy walks out and I purposely avoided him. I did not listen to the 77-minute press conference. I can't do it. I don't know how any of you can. I really can't. So this morning, however, I'm trying to not watch CSI. I'm in season 7. It's all I've watched for like 3 weeks. I'm trying to not watch it right now and just sort of incorporate it back in a minute. But anyway, I was watching news, CBS Now, CBS News, and on popped Trump at Boeing, okay? And he says, hey, I used to get paid to make a speech like this. Now I got to do it for free. It's not a very good deal, is it? And I thought, no, it's not. So why don't you just, you know, resign his presidency and go back to making money doing speeches? How about that? We'd all be happy with it. Okay? So that just, right there, the disrespect that showed for the office of presidency, it stabbed me at that very moment. It really did. I thought, oh, my God. He just said that being president was a bad deal. He said that. He said, yeah, bad deal. Being president was a bad deal. Okay. If that's, you know, hey, who am I, right? Who am I? But I can't believe anyone would follow him right now. I can't. I find it so hard to believe that anybody would continue to follow this man. And I know that there are people that are. They're called stupid. I'm not going to be nice about this anymore, you know? If you look at this man and all that he does and you still think he's okay for you and okay for your family and okay for the country, then you are stupid. And I'm just saying stupid as in unintelligent, uninformed. You don't have all the facts. You just don't. So I'm not trying to insult you, really. I'm just trying to say that you're missing something. Somehow you're not seeing something. Because you'd have to be blind. All he still does is campaign. He's having his first campaign event on the 20th. You pay for that. You know, and he's having his first campaign event. He fully plans on running again, and his eyes are already focused on that. So this morning he says that being president's a bad deal. When do they impeach? You know, Republicans don't realize, and I'm glad they don't, I guess, that they're going down with him. They're trying to sort of distance, but no, they're going down with him. They're going down with him because in the grand scheme of things, it's hard to tell them apart now. You know, they're voting just along party lines. They're giving him every cabinet member that he wants. Someone told him no. Can you imagine the president offering you a huge cabinet position? Huge cabinet position. Okay, we'll leave that alone. For those of you watching the video, very phallic thing found my hand. Anyway, this huge cabinet position, and they're like, no, thank you. I'd rather not, really. I'm trying to cut down. I just thought, wow, smack in the face there, huh? Really, smack in the face there. So as I watched him speak, I worried for us again. I thought, oh, God. It's Friday, and now he's on my TV, and he's saying these horrible things, and he just kept saying them. He stood there. He stood there today and talked about how America first, American-made things. He's at Boeing. When his daughter's line of crap and all of his crap is Eche in Mexico or somewhere else. None of his stuff is made in America. And no one stood up and screamed at him and yelled at him and said, then how come you, why don't you make your stuff in America? No one said a word. Just let him blather on. Blather, 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 blather. Let him just blather on. And I just found I couldn't take it. He was standing there. He's like, yes, everything here is going to be made in America. Yeah. What about you? What about your corporations? What about all of your business stuff? That's not made in America, is it? But no one shouts him down like during the press conference. How could they stand there in that 77-minute press conference and only one person shout him down? I don't understand. They're such cowards. Lily-livered swabs, I tell you. It is such a cowardly thing to record some guy doing something one day and then make fun of him the next and say, oh, look at all the times he lied. That's cowardly. Stand up when you're there. You're at the White House. You're in front of the man. They don't give this access to just anybody. Stand up for it. You're right in front of him. And they just let him. I can't. I'd have to shut him up or leave. I would. I'd have to shut him up or leave. This is about where the power went out last time, by the way. Maybe it wasn't really a storm. But I would. I'd truly. Hello, Cabral. I would truly have to just shut him up or leave. Shut him down or leave, really. Oh, hold on, Miss Ember. Ember's got to go see Cabral. Because I can't abide lies like that. How many of you get into an argument with a partner or somebody, a friend, and you know they're lying? There's nothing worse than someone standing there and lying to your frickin' face. They just stand there and they're... And you're thinking, you're lying. I know you're lying. It's like, you know? And that's how I felt this morning. I watched him. I looked at his face. I said, you're lying. You're lying. And I know you're lying. And he knows you're lying. And the dog knows you're lying. And everyone here knows you're lying. And no one stopped him. The media didn't stop him. They're like, we must stop Kellyanne Conway. She's just not. Well, he's lying. And then to point it out after media, wusses. Wusses. Even Fox, a few things about the press conference, Fox went on about and said, well, it wasn't quite the way things are. So when you got Fox, like, what's going on with MSNBC? Hiring what? Greta Van Susteren looks like someone put a bag of oranges in a pillowcase and beat her with it. If you know mob stuff, you'll know what that does. It internally bruises and doesn't externally bruise, and it causes mountain disformities. But she does. That's what she looks like. I don't care if she made herself look like that because of men or pressure. I don't care. She looks wrong because it's her ugly on the inside coming out. All these ugly people, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, they all ugly. It's the ugly on the inside trying to come on out. Greta Van Susteren, she has to look like that. She ugly on the inside. All these people at Fox News, look how they look. They look that way because they ugly up on the inside. Oh, you're the same guy that said you think Tony Snow deserves cancer because he worked at the White House. It's not what I said. I said, how can you, you know, we're going to talk with Standing Rock, Paulette Moore, the maker of the film, the Spirit of Standing Rock. We're going to talk with her. And one of the dangers there is the contaminated water and cancer. And all I ever said about anybody is if you work in a really negative environment, it's going to affect your health. Can you imagine the health of White House staffers and what it's doing? Having that stress of him there and all the lies you have to tell and the covering up and all of that already. Can you imagine the stress they're under? Oh, my God. That's a lot. I mean, they're going to be getting sick. They're going to be dropping like flies. They really are. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I mean it. I mean, if you work in a negative environment, if your job is spewing lies, if everything is just wrong, 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 then you know what? It's not going to be good for you. You're not going to feel good. Come on, Ember, it's raining. Get in here, girl. Oh, she came back to me even through the rain. All right, what else are we going to do today? It's Friday. Don't go see The Wall with Matt Damon. Please don't. Oh, God, don't. Oh, my God, is it horrible. I saw a screener. It's so bad. Oh, my God. You know I'm in SAG, AFTRA, and the Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association, so we get screeners. And they sent a screener link of the Wall. Oh. Oh. Never has more money been spent for such a useless production. No offense to the people involved, but it's terrible. It's a terrible movie. Terrible. So don't do that this weekend. It's only raining today and it's missing us. I'm kind of, although the blackout was funny, I thought, well, they got mad at me for saying that it's missing us. But it is. It's missing us. We're not getting the rain here in Long Beach. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what my big argument of the day was. Okay, I had a big argument today online. I had a big comment feud back and forth online. And I'm going to tell you what it's about. And maybe you'll agree with me and maybe you'll disagree with me. But if you use social media, okay, I'm going to want your opinion. So if you could come to my website, reallycorrell.com, and launch the public chat room that's right there in the lower right corner that if you're not going to use, I'm not going to pay for. So go to reallycorrell.com and launch the public chat room. I'd like your opinion coming up in the next segment about something, about my big argument of the day. Right, Miss Ember? I had a big argument of the day. Not with Ember, of course. But I want your opinion as to whether I was right or wrong. And it involves social media. So I think you'll all have an opinion about what I gave an opinion about this morning and how I'm being taken to task. Oh, my God. Oh, I've been told I need therapy, that I have anger issues. Oh, I've been told a lot by this group that says they're not attacking me. We're not personally attacking you, but have you tried therapy? So when we come back, if you would go to reallycorrell.com so I could read your comments, okay? Reallycorrell.com, because it involves social media and you and me. All right, also don't forget that on the weekends you can see me on Free Speech TV. Just check their listings at freespeech.org, at Free Speech TV, every weekend. And in the next month or two, I have yet to find out when, I'll be finding out today, I'll be coming to Reverie, the GLBT Netflix of sorts, with both my weekly show, Carell Life in Segments, and my daily show. They are a subscription service, so I also am launching on-demand pages starting next week. Very exciting. I'm so excited about this. We're launching on-demand pages for Carell Life in Segments where you can go watch a single episode for a buck, or you can rent them all, or you can buy them all right there online. And I know that you guys are going to rent them and buy them because you know that money is going to go to support the show. And I just couldn't be happier. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you're going to get them free, of course. So that's very cool. One of the most entertaining TV shows around is Carell's Life in Segments. I should know, I'm Carell, and that's what the media and listeners alike and viewers are saying about it. See what they're talking about by tuning in every week on Free Speech TV or go to lifeinsegments.com now. One of the most entertaining TV shows around is Carell's Life in Segments. I should know, I'm Carell, and that's what the media and listeners alike and viewers are saying about it. See what they're talking about by tuning in every week on Free Speech TV or go to lifeinsegments.com now. Sunlight to moonlight,
your hands in mine. Having a good time.
Having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunlight to moonlight, your hands in mine. Having a good time. Having a good time. I love you.
Well, no sunlight around here today. Just a lot of rain. It finally reached Long Beach. It hadn't been here for a while. Now it is here, and the rain and the wind and the rain and everything came with it. I am so glad you are joining me. I got to close the door. The weather is coming inside. Got to stop it, child. Stay out of here, weather. Go away, weather. We don't want any. Well, we do. But anyway, I hope I make it through this segment without a blackout. Two different segments. Two blackouts. really interrupted the video today, too. Coming up next, we do have Paulette Moore, the Spirit of Standing Rock, so don't go anywhere. Okay, so I'm a member of this. Well, I was. I'm no longer a member of Dudes with Dogs. And it was this group of gay guys on Facebook that love their dogs, and they always take selfies with them, and here we are at the beach, and all this other stuff. And occasionally, you would see someone, you know, post that they lost their dog, and it was always very sad. Well, recently, like one, you know, one every, you know, what, five posts has been about another doggy crossing the Rainbow Bridge. And it's getting so every day in my feed, there's not just fun stuff about dogs. There's stuff about dogs crossing the Rainbow Bridge. And so I went to the group and said, hey, how about we start a memorial, Dudes with Dogs? And then if your dog dies, you post it there. And, you know, this group can just stay, you know. And of course, you could post a thing, you know, my puppy passed away. Please see my memorial page or whatever. But no, they got all angry and all mad at me. And, oh, life isn't just for when things are good and blah, 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 on and on. And I even said, how Trumptonian of you all. You know, I was looking at a way to expand how we deal with people that have lost their pets. And you guys just think that because I say, and then I said to them, you know what? I lived through the age of AIDS. I said this in a post. I said, I lived through the age of AIDS. And it was every day a new obituary, a new obituary, a new obituary. And you know what? I'm kind of tired of that. You know, I nowadays at my age, I want to see life and people living it. And that doesn't mean I am not sympathetic to the people that lose pets. I'm not. You know, of course I am. You know I am. But I don't need to see it every day. And I think you all will agree, social media has just gotten too negative in general. Whether it's pictures of dead animals prior to them being resuscitated or rescued, or I lost my pet today, or negative political stuff. Just it's all just become so negative. And when you do post a comment, instead of anyone opening a dialogue with you, they just attack you. I was told I needed therapy because I was like, you know what? You guys are all like, oh, well, if you don't like it, you don't have to read it. And I'm just like, I was happening to say maybe we should start something new. And you guys are all like, well, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, just like it in today's day and age. You know, just like everybody to jump on everybody because that's how it is. Even dudes with dogs. So ready to jump on me because I said I don't like to read every fourth post about my beloved Fruffy who just went off to the, you know, Rainbow Bridge. You know, truly. I mean, I know I mentioned Pippa and Attila and all of my dead creatures quite a bit, including Andrew. I know. I get it. So I understand grief. But you know what? I don't go to Facebook for that. If I'm your friend, your real friend, and you know what? You guys are my listeners. You're my friend. If my dog dies, I fully expect you guys to comment about it. My dogs are in your life. Attila, Allie, Pippa, they were on my TV show. They're on my radio show. You guys hear them. You hear me talking to them. So, of course, if something happens to one of them, I fully expect you all to comment. And it's very nice when a friend, a real friend, when a pet passes and you reach out to them, that's very kind. But a stranger in a group called Dudes with Dogs, I don't have to comment to every one of them, sorry for your loss. I don't know them. And while I am sorry for their loss, at the same time, I don't need to feel their loss. And I guess that's what I was trying to tell the group. Look, I'm sorry for their loss, but I don't need to feel loss 10 times a day because this group chooses to post it. You know, I don't. And I even said, maybe it means I should be out of here. And I did. As much as I liked the photos of the cute gay guys with their dogs, I just can't do it anymore because even if it's only every 10th post, I don't even want to see two or three a day of someone putting down their pet or having an accident with their pet. I don't. You know, when it happened to me with Pippa, I wrote about it. I tried to educate people about walking across the street, keep your pet at their side, lift them up if you can, take different routes so you don't walk busy streets, never let them lead in front of you. You know, all these different things. I met with a city planner about sidewalks. I met with a grief counselor on air about how to get through your pet loss. I didn't just post something and say, here, feel bad for me. You know, and I just said, look, I'm tired of these posts that say, here, feel bad for me. You know what I'm tired of? Stop posting pictures of one-legged girls or guys or kids with cancer and say, oh, my friend said that no one would give me any likes because I'm so different, but I bet you will. No, I won't. I will not be coerced into liking something because it's someone without a leg or a disabled child. Oh, my friend said that no one would like this. You know what? You're right. I'm not going to because it's contrived. You're trying to make me do it. And that's the same thing on the dudes with dogs, every fifth one being a dead dog. Stop making me sad. Let me love my living. Don't let your device be part of the dumbing down of America. Make your smart device truly smart by downloading the free CorelCast app. It's free right now at any app store of your choice. Android, iOS, it's all there, the CorelCast app.
Oh, low, we go high. Lift our voices to the sky. We must remember what keeps us strong. We've been living in the dark for much too long.
I'm not hearing it, but
stronger, stronger together.
Come along.
on, girl, come on. The Crowcast, and that's a super sneak peek of the remix of my song Stronger Together, which I hope we are all going to be. And, you know, this morning, as you heard in my show before the blackout happened, and I was doing a rant about it, actually, the president, which I hate to call him, said two things which annoyed me. The first was that he normally got paid to do the Boeing speech. Now he's not, and he feels it's a bad deal. So do I. I'd rather he be paid for it and not be president. But the second thing he said, he stood there and boasted that he had signed both pipelines into existence, and that he said, oh, and then they got to use American steel, like he uses any American product. But he boasted about signing a bill that basically negates all of not only the incredible protest done on scene, but also all of the courts and even the president himself, President Obama, at the time. So I had to talk about Standing Rock today because it's certainly in the news. And who better to do that than Paulette Moore, whose film, The Spirit of Standing Rock, debuted on my network, I own it, Free Speech TV. And you should watch it. It's there, and it's wonderful, and I'm sure it's going to be making the rounds as well, theaters and circuits, and probably video on demand and streaming, so you must see it. And she's here with us now to talk about it. Welcome, Paulette.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to talk to you.
By the way, you look gorgeous. Your earrings and your black. Is that sexist of me? I'm gay. I have no horse in this race. I mean, you're looking good, girl. So let's talk about why did you get involved and want to do a documentary on Standing Rock and now? And before we even get into those whole film reporter questions 101, how much did your blood boil this morning when Trump said and boasted during the Boeing speech that he had signed this into existence, just ignoring the will of both indigenous Americans and millions of other Americans who have shown their support to stop that pipeline so we don't have another ignored tragedy, Flint, Michigan, which, of course, they're still being poisoned there. So and all these people are standing up for, let's be very clear to everybody, no matter what side of the political spectrum you are on, they're just saying, let's not build a pipeline near drinking water, bad idea.
And we have so many pipelines and... you know, the oil that's coming from the Bakken oil fields is that we've reached peak oil there, and all that dirty oil is coming out now, and really just this kind of unsustainable extraction. And I'm glad you're comparing it to Michigan, to Flint, Michigan, because that's where we are now, and
we just found right now, not off topic, but I do tangents. I used to have an engineer that would do a tangent alert, sort of an ADD button. But we just found that creatures at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest part of the planet, Kim Kardashian's cleavage is no longer holding that title, or her butt crack. It is now the Mariana Trench. And these creatures at the bottom, did you see the report? They are filled with industrial toxins. And they're at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. They're about as far removed from mankind as you can get, and yet our poisons have reached them. So what hubris is it to think we could build a pipeline right next to drinking water that's infallible? How that's just hubris. That's just hubris.
That's a great word. And, you know, and if you think about how many people that you know that don't feel well, that have, like, allergies and, you know, their food doesn't make them feel well, you know, so many people, like, these are signs that we need to pay attention to.
Well, I always say this, Paulette Moore, the creator of the documentary film The Spirit of Standing Rock, premiering on Free Speech TV and coming to video on demand and streaming near you. I always say this. I'm in the entertainment business. A lot of female celebrities have breast cancer, if you think about it. You can name a lot of them. I mean, a lot. Now, when you think what a small number of women become famous female celebrities.
Right.
Meaning, we're talking 100th of 1,000th of 1% of all women will ever be a household name. And of those, you see this huge number that have breast cancer. And right. you think to yourself, if it's rampant amongst them, it's got to be a bigger problem than we're even acknowledging in the general population. And what's right. causing it all? It can't just be luck of the draw. There has to be environmental factors. And the yeah. easiest thing to go back to is what do we eat and what do we drink and what do we breathe?
Well, and that's where you asked, you know, what my interest of it was. And from an indigenous perspective, the indigenous worldview really brings into this relationship. We never lost our relationship with the earth right. as indigenous people. And that's
Are
not...
Are you an indigenous person?
Am I?
Yes.
Yes, I am. I'm Ganyenge Haga Mohawk.
Okay.
And an enrolled member of Six Nations Reserve.
I am a tribe that no one's ever really heard of, but yet it's a really important and influential tribe. And it's because my parents are all French Canadian on both sides.
Oh.
So they mixed up with the Mi'kmaq Indians.
Okay.
And if you're from that side, the East Coast up in Canada, you know the Mi'kmaqs. But
yep.
in America, they don't really know them that much. However, they did support the North and freedom during the wars, the Mi'kmaq Indians.
Yeah.
And they also supported the African Americans' plight and you know, during the Civil War and the Underground Railroad and such. They also helped with that. Indigenous people have always helped those who have been oppressed. And isn't Standing Rock just Indigenous peoples trying to actually help us because we're too stupid? I mean, isn't that really the spirit of Standing Rock? Let us step in and try to help these idiots before they poison themselves. Oh, this is Ember. She's on the desk for my show. Yeah, this is
here. This I'll show you Kaya later. Hi, Ember. Her.
She's part of my TV show and my radio show, and she's a little diva.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
And she just knocked the keyboard on the floor, so God knows what we're doing recording-wise, but that's okay. That's okay. I will stop a television show for my dog. Oh, I'm that person.
You're my kind of person.
So, isn't that truly the spirit of Standing Rock? Is people once again standing up for people who are too stupid to figure out what they're doing is going to hurt them?
Yeah, and indigenous like worldview and this connection of like in Mohawk tradition and culture, the only thing that we are asked to do every day is to be grateful. And that means we say thank you to everything, one by one by one. Thank you to the bugs. Thank you to the water. And what that does is
it's
make
very
us...
Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
it is very Avatar.
It is. And it makes us, when you're grateful, you have a relationship, right? And so you notice, it's actually scientifically.
Yeah, but doesn't this, and Paulette Moore, The Spirit of Standing Rock is the documentary, does on Free Speech TV and coming to video on demand and streaming near you. Doesn't this just speak to the larger problem that Americans in general, but humans as a whole, are becoming very disconnected with anything and everything? Meaning, I interviewed these great scientists from Stanford, and they're a husband and wife duo, and they wrote a book about how we're all stardust, because we really are. Sodium and nitrogen, all these different things that make us up, come from various planets out in the universe, and they fall to Earth. Every day, millions of pounds of them. And our skin regenerates every 7 years. And what's falling on it all day long? Stardust. So what's it regenerate with? Stardust. We're all stardust. Everything on this planet is made up of something from... Water is not indigenous to planet Earth. It came here from comets in the Kuiper Belt that melted and came to planet Earth. So we're all sort of visitors here. And in that, we're all connected. That we're all the same materials. I told my friend Karen, diamonds are only worth money because De Beers back in the 30s said they should be. And then they limited supply and everything. But I said, maybe we revere them because they're carbon. And somewhere we know that that's the basis of everything, that we are carbon-based life forms.
Yeah.
And she said, people are too stupid to figure out that connection. But we are all connected. And I think that's one thing that the indigenous people try to really stress, is that what happens to me happens to you. And what happens to this spot of land right here affects a spot of land 10,000 miles away from here.
Well, and in the movie, you hear Myron Dewey, I say at the beginning of the movie, hello, relatives. And that's something that, you know, considering you and the bugs and Kaya and Ember, you know, our dog, like human and non-human, are relatives, it means we're going to take care of each other.
Yes.
I had this
whole conversation about the movie A Dog's Purpose. I said that I hate the title because a dog, oh, great lighting right there. Move forward a little bit, girl. So Joan Crawford. Oh, my God, it's fabulous. And Paulette Moore is my guest. And the movie is The Spirit of Standing Rock. Because that thing feud is coming up, you know, with Jessica Lange and Sarah, what's her name? The one that voted for whomever, Susan Sarandon, made me angry. So I did detract myself, but we were talking about the fact that we all are connected and that what happens to me happens to you and that we do have this thread, that joins us all together. And at Standing Rock, I think that really was a viral thread, because it really was a connection of people there that then spread out through social media and wove a whole lot of people, into it. So how frustrating is it after many victories, actually?
Yeah.
The Cloven Bundy thing. Tell me y'all are pissed off that, you know, 10 white men can hold the FBI at gunpoint and get off, and they're pepper spraying indigenous people at Standing Rock. Tell me that's not that didn't upset somebody, because that upset the hell out of me.
The disparity of that. Well, and, you know, the whole world economy crashed in 2008, and nobody went to jail for that. So,
and he's going to do it again now that he repealed Dodd-Frank.
There we go.
You know, it's like, dudes. So we're, but they realize, they being indigenous people, that we're all in this together. And what I was saying is, people are so self-centered these days. We so just watch and only deal with what affects us directly. And that's killing us in so many ways. We're not healthy. We're not healthy psychologically. We're not healthy physically. We think sending someone a birthday Facebook thing is the same as calling someone or hugging them. We think that voicing your approval or saying that I'm with Standing Rock on a tweet, we think that actually does something.
Right.
And it doesn't. We're disconnected from
love. Standing Rock is people putting their bodies, you know, it's like the history of direct action, you know, Gandhi. Why is that so powerful? It's because your whole body is invested. In that.
You know, if a rabbi had gone up and said whatever they say, it's not called mass, but if they had held a service, no one would have said much. If a famous priest or evangelist, Graham Jr. or something, had gone up and said a prayer for the people at Standing Rock, no one would have really said much. Why do you think they made so much fun of the indigenous peoples and their ceremonies at Standing Rock like they were some sort of comic book characters doing some Indian war chants?
That's the way it's always been. Indigenous people are cartoons. They are savages. They're less than human. And that is by design. It's because...
I blame my childhood. I watched The Lone Ranger the other day for the first time in 50 years. And I thought, Tonto was like the epitome of the most racist stereotype ever in the world. We're going to finish up with Paulette when we come back. We got to do a little bit of radio stuff here. Going to take a small little break. But Paulette Moore is my guest. Her movie is The Spirit of Standing Rock. You can see it on Free Speech TV. It's also going to be coming to streaming and video on demand. You need to watch it. You need to understand what's happening up there and why it's relevant to you. And we'll be right back to explain a little more of that. And remember, everything about me can be found at reallycorel.com.
Hey, you know what? I'm giving you everything from the show. The show, the YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it for free in the CorelCast app. Just go to the app store of your choice and download the CorelCast app, Android, iOS. It's yours for free now.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Time will tell, child. I am Carell, and we are back. Paulette Moore is my guest. She movie is on Free Speech TV. You know I'm on Free Speech TV every week. We just wrapped our third season, I can't believe it, of Carell's Life in Segments, and season 4 and season 5 are going to be, boy, if I can do what I want, which is go up the 5 freeway from beginning to end and tape it all, and then go across the 10 from beginning to end and tape it all, and compare and contrast the two in Trump's America as a gay boy with his doggy in the middle of Trump's America.
That sounds great.
It would be a good documentary, yes. Because I did the 10 from beginning to end in 2000 with my late husband, Andrew, and we videotaped it all. So I have footage from the biosphere, from visiting Anne Rice in New Orleans, and we're going to go back and see how it's all changed. Your movie... how do you not feel defeated when the president boasts today about just taking a pen and signing away not only the wishes and wills of so many, but perhaps the safety of so many? How do you say we're still going to fight on when that sort of thing is going on?
well, people have been trying to disappear indigenous people for, you know, 500 years. So if we felt defeated and didn't stay in prayer and ceremony, we wouldn't be alive right now, you know? And there's that Mexican proverb, if they tried to bury us, but they didn't realize we were seeds, right? So I think that's the only way that survival happens. And we stay, and it is the ceremony that shores us up. It's that sound of the drum that is the sound of the heartbeat. And I tell my students, this isn't hippy-dippy bullshit, you know? It's actual practical maps for how to stay centered, how to stay connected to each other, how to protect the water. All of these indigenous practices, we're not like, you know, it's not because, oh, it's so elusive that you have an Indian, you know, there's a culture there. It's not elusive. It's a map, you know, and it's a map that Europeans had and forgot. You know, they became very suspicious of the wild and came here, and then we're already like that.
They became suspicious of the wild and came to a wild nation and tried to make it like Europe. They would, I mean, I love high tea. I have it every day. But if you have to cart a special tent and tea set and have five people so you can have high tea in the middle of the wilds, perhaps not, yes. You know, and they still want that. They want a Starbucks in the middle of a national park. You know, yeah. I mean, nothing against either of those two things. It's just, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. Now, right. Is Standing Rock done? Is it a done deal? Are they going to get their pipeline?
They are constructing right now, and it's been about a week, and so that is making us mournful.
Your heart hurts, doesn't it? Your heart,
it does, you know, that embodiment, it's like, you know, you allow yourself to be vulnerable to something. So they are digging under Lake Oahe and probably have been even more than this last week because they said it's going to only take 30 days. And it's supposed to
Army Corps of Engineers doing this, right?
No. Army Corps of Engineers allowed the easement to happen. They allowed the permit.
The Army Corps of Engineers, who was responsible for Katrina and who built the dam that's breaking here in California. Yeah, I really trust them and their judgment. I do.
Yeah, there's a huge history between the Sioux and the Army Corps where the land has been taken and flooded within living memory.
Yeah, but I don't want to be vulgar here, but it's not like these people are fighting to build a casino. They're fighting to save drinking water that everybody drinks, you know, not just the indigenous people of the region. And yes, there is also a sacred burial area there, I understand, or some other sacred prayer grounds near the area. Which we would never desecrate a Jewish area or an Islamic area or a Christian area. We would just never desecrate it. And yet they have no problem just bulldozing right through an indigenous people's, you know, sacred area. I'm an atheist, but I still find that horrific. Because if you're going to, you cannot say one religion is more important than another. You just can't. If you treat everybody the same, you know. And so indigenous people's religion should be respected. Their land should be respected. It's just, it's unfair. Well, we're going to have to watch the movie. It is The Spirit of Standing Rock. Paulette has been my guest. She, of course, Ms. Moore is the producer and director. And I don't want to say star, but it's a documentary. The star is the topic. And you should watch it on Free Speech TV. And if you can't catch it there or on demand, it will be streaming in video on demand. So please go and do that. Thank you so much for joining us. And you know, I'm so sorry the president said what he did this morning and boasted about it. It's un-American and it's just treasonous in my view. But I don't run the world, so you know.
Stay in ceremony, stay in prayer.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Paulette.
Okay. Thank you. Uh-huh. You're great.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Marvelous, marvelous woman. All right, that is the Carell Cast for the week. I hope you enjoyed it this week, and I hope you enjoyed watching it. You can watch me every day at noon at reallycarell.com and facebook.com and YouTube, all over the place. Go to my website, reallycarell.com. That's reallycarell.com. And thank you. I got two new Patreon subscribers today. Thank you so very, very much for your continued support. This weekend, why not go to my website and sign up? Be who you want to be, song. Don't hurt anybody.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell. Almighty King, do you know what I know?
This is the Carrellcast. I am Carell. Do you fear what I fear? That song was written about nuclear war, actually, and I redid it. Do you fear what I fear about Donald Trump? Said the tiny hands to the Do you fear what I fear? As we talk about the history of Christmas music here on the Carrellcast, thanks to my Carell Life in Segments. It's a great, fun look back this week. Next week, we're going to have brand new episodes that no one's ever even seen. I'm going to give you the audio of the upcoming episodes of Carell Life in Segments before anybody ever sees it. I thank you for indulging me on these holiday episodes and listening and enjoying the time with me, and also giving me a little time to take a breather and to break. Of course, if anything breaking happens, if anything big happens over the holiday season, I will be on. But otherwise, I've got some great pre-recorded stuff here for you, and I do hope you like it.
Well, should we clap? Would you clap in your living room? I feel like I should clap. God, the one I have such talented friends. I love that. So back in 1818, they needed a Christmas Eve song, and the organ was broken. So the parish priest said, hey, we have a guitar. Right, absolutely. But that really wasn't heard of for a Christmas, you know, carol, a Christmas hymn. So they said, well, let's just be unconventional. And they wrote Silent Night. So then in 1914, the world was at war. The world was absolutely at war. And it was Christmas Eve yet again. And the Allied troops, the Germans were fighting the French, and there were some Americans there too. And it was, you know, a night like any other, except that they knew it was Christmas Eve. And so the Germans in their foxhole started singing Silent Night in German as it was originally written. And the French, hearing this and knowing the song, started singing Silent Night as well. And Americans that were there started singing Silent Night as well. Well, suddenly the most remarkable thing happened, and the people came out of the trenches and started talking to each other and sharing rations and sharing liquor and having a Christmas Eve party and waking up Christmas morning and not annihilating each other, having a Christmas morning. They didn't go back to killing each other until the day after, I'm told. But
we can wait.
Right, but exactly. Well, if you think about it, what other song has literally brought about world peace? Isn't this one of your favorites? Is this one of your favorites?
Yeah, everyone's favorite.
It really is everyone's
favorite. Standard for every Christmas Eve.
Since 1818. In a song co-written by me, of all people. So, very glad you are joining me. Mickey Huff is with Project Censored, and, you know, there's a lot of stories that just, they don't catch your eye like Kim's butt. Why? We don't know why. That's the eternal question. Why will you talk about this and not talk about that? And the fact is, so many stories get missed that you really need to know. And Mickey, that's what Project Censored does, and it brings those each year in a book. You have a new one for 2015 at projectcensored.org. But tell me, what are some of the absolute biggest, most underreported stories?
Yeah, well, in our book this year, the top stories included the number one story was on ocean acidification, which is, of course, a global warming story. The second story was the top 10 recipients of U.S. aid taxpayer money.
Well, we know it ain't you or me, so who the hell are they?
Well, they all practice torture or are accused of practicing torture and have abysmal human rights records. And the third story, a doozy that was kind of in the news but not this past week, is WikiLeaks revelations on the Trans-Pacific Partnerships. Of course, Laura Poitras' new film, Citizen Four, is now making its rounds and generating some attention. As far as journalists goes, and journalists and whistleblower types, the film on Gary Webb Kill the Messenger was a nice thing to see, because Gary, of course, was the person who brought us the CIA crack cocaine story years ago and basically lost his career over it and ultimately committed suicide. There's a price to pay, Carell, when you tell the truth about powerful people and when you sort of pull the veil back and show people what...
Well, is that why nobody does it?
Well, that's why a lot of people don't do it, yeah, because I would imagine. And right now, Carell, people in the United States they're tied for the record low in terms of trust of corporate media, down to about 40%. Trust in Congress was down to about 11%, but they still had a 96%.
Well, I would trust corporate media about 11% as well.
Any issues?
Are you encouraged at all, Mickey Huff, with Project Censored, that a report came out about conservatives versus liberals in terms of where they get their media? And for liberals, they get their media from at least 3 to 5 sources, not just one.
Including ones they disagree with.
Conservatives invariably get it from 1 or 2 at most.
Yeah,
are you encouraged, though, on the at least progressive side, that at least they are looking to other media sources?
Yeah, and, you know, we even get criticized some because we look at so many different sources that, you know, people try to pin us down. And they're like, oh, you're a left group, you're a this group, you have a story, but then you have a right-wing story. It's like, look, man, we're in favor of a free press, and we're in favor of the public having the right to know. And the more you tell people about what's going on, the more you can likely trust them that they may show up, they may vote, and they may actually begin acting in a public way in the public's interest.
Well, they'll at least show up to vote for pot because they'll be so depressed over it all they'll want to be high.
Boy, and how people have been showing up to vote for pot. We're having a great holiday show here. I hope you're enjoying it. I certainly am. And don't forget, I'll be back. I don't want to say live because I'm here with you now on Thursday, but, you know, I'll be back more live in the new year on January 2nd.
Time for Cannabis Corner, where we look at one of the greenest industries in America, both from the consumer side as well as the business side, because this is one of the biggest growing businesses in America. And Steve Yannick will know that because he is the CEO of Americanex, the ACE Marketplace, as it's called, the American Cannabis Exchange. And yes, there's going to need to be something like this since millions and billions of dollars are going to be created in this economy. Steve is here with us now. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Very excited to be here today.
Now, let's talk about this. You believe that in order for the business of America's marijuana revolution, and it is one, and you believe in order for the business of that to be done properly, we need something that a lot of people hate, by the way, which is Wall Street or a Wall Street model. Explain to me why anybody that likes cannabis and the cannabis industry and the mindset doesn't seem to match. The people in the cannabis industry seem to be pioneers. They seem to be very free-spirited. They don't seem to be Wall Street executives. And you're saying we need Wall Street involved in a new sort of format.
Well, absolutely. And I use the Wall Street model because what we've seen over the past few decades in Wall Street is the regulatory environment has moved to an all-electronic model. And the reason they've done so is purely for the fact that they want accountability, trackability, and transparency in the marketplace. What we've found, and if you look at all of the electronic markets that exist, the cannabis market is very similar to any other commodities market that we currently have.
Right.
If you look at the financial markets, all of the derivative products and what we call the over-the-counter products are very similar as cannabis and how it reacts in the marketplace. So when we say Wall Street model, what we really are saying is we found on Wall Street that for scalability purposes, when a product becomes very popular, the way and the only way to do this is on an electronic basis. It brings costs down. I sat at an event last night in Colorado with the governor and with many, many business people from the cannabis environment. And I can tell you one thing. They welcomed us with open arms. For them to grow and to continue, they need this model.
Now, Steve Yannick, CEO of Americanex, the ACE Marketplace, American Cannabis Exchange. What exactly does the American Cannabis Exchange do for businesses? What do you do?
So what we do is we provide the average business owner the ability to transact on an electronic basis. So products that they're buying and that they're selling currently are very expensive in the current marketplace. If they go electronic, we scale down costs. by a very dramatic number, we could scale down costs up to 30%, thus creating tremendous value in a marketplace that currently needs it. One thing we hear from every business owner, they need to bring costs down. We found historically the only way to do that, and in a market that's running so quickly with such euphoria, you need to make this an electronic marketplace.
And when you say, in other words, if I was a dispensary in Washington and I wanted to buy a large amount of product, I could go to the exchange and see what the product is going for and find the cheapest place to buy it and then buy it?
Absolutely. So now you have many, many participants in the market, many growers, cultivators, who are now fighting for that business, which lowers costs.
That's the biggest problem. I maintain through all of this, and I'm, of course, a cannabis user, legal cannabis user, but I maintain through all of this with the dispensaries, medical system, or legal system, the pot's still it's just too damn expensive. You know, $300 an ounce is what I used to pay for my dealer, which I would have to then drive to their house and go to some clandestine place, but that's what I used to pay, $300 to $400 an ounce. Now it's that same price, and I don't understand it. We've got co-ops, we've got growers, we've got tons of the stuff in the marketplace. Why hasn't it come down? And I think a lot of people have wondered, why hasn't the price come down if it's now more readily available? And instead, the prices have gone up. Now they got $500 ounces. And I understand there's always going to be premium and stuff like that, but I mean, that's just a little excessive. And I think that's another thing that we'll talk about later, which is about regulation, where there absolutely is none. Steve Yannick, CEO of Americanx, the ACE Marketplace, American Cannabis Exchange. You can find about them at Americanx.com. That's Americanx.com. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. I am Carell, and, you know, he is right. As this industry explodes, there's going to need to be a marketplace like the Americanx, like the Commodities Exchange. There always has been.
All right, that was Americanx, and now there's even more of them springing up because, as you know, pot is a cash business still. You put the federal money in the bank, and, I mean, if you put money in the bank, and that money is derived from federally illegal activities, the feds can take it. So these pot places are setting up dummy businesses, dummy corporations to launder their money. And it's a shame that they have to. And now that it's legal in California, I just don't see banks in California missing out on this. You know, I really, truly don't. We're having a special holiday show here on Carell. It's the Carell Cast, and we're playing some of Carell Life in segments and some vintage interviews and just having some fun with you over the holiday season. I hope you're enjoying it.
You know, sometimes when you don't know any better, you're fearless. And that's what Carell's Life in Segments really is on Free Speech TV. Myself and my friend Brandon, well, we didn't know we couldn't do it on TV, so we just go ahead and do it until someone tells us to stop. And no one has so far. See what we're doing each and every week. Up to 5 different segments every week for you on Free Speech TV's Carell Life in Segments. You can see it right away by subscribing to my YouTube channel. It's Really Carell Tube. That's Really Carell Tube. You know, I don't mean to brag or anything, but I can make your smartphone a whole lot smarter. How? With the Carellcast app. Now, whether you're an Android or an iPhone, it doesn't matter. All you got to do is go and get the Carellcast app. It is free. Carellcast. You're going to have my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. You're going to have so much right there. And you're going to have all the stuff that I retweet. And there's a whole lot of news articles that I know you're going to want to read. That's why you get the Carellcast app. It all flows in. And guess what? My weekly TV show is there, too. Just for you.
How many of you can say you have the best boss in the world? Well, I can because my boss is you. I work for you because the show, The Carell Cast, is sponsored and paid for through Patreon. And that means you. Give 5, 10, 15, or 20 bucks a month. Keep the show on air now.
Yeah. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, and life is about getting things started, is it not? My next guest, you know, this last week we've been talking a lot about the American dream, and that 59% of Americans think it's unobtainable. 63% of kids 18 to 34 think it's unobtainable. And yet my next guest will tell you otherwise. She's the reason we believe in it, but I have to say she's also the exception to the rule. Her name is Zena Musica, and from a life much like yours or mine, she has crafted something out of a love of something you all know I love, which is tea. I adore tea, and if you want to see me at the World Tea Expo, just go to my website, iamcarell.com, where we interview the president, George Jace, and others. Zena, welcome. Your story is that American dream. It's what we hear about. It's what we want. It's what we all hope for ourselves. And yet it's so unbelievable. Can you even believe that you've lived it?
Well, they say the average overnight success takes 15 years.
Right.
So, yeah. because it's been almost 15 years, and absolutely.
And let's tell them what the dream was. You had a sick child. Your son, I believe, was ill. You had about, yes, you know, 10, like most of us, you had 10 bucks in your pocket, and you didn't know what you were going to do. But you knew what you did have, which was yourself, and a love of tea, which I have as well. And I've been telling everybody that it is a new green economy and they should be paying attention to it. And you actually, you know, I don't want to say did the gypsy thing, but girl, you just took a cart out to the street and said, buy my tea.
Pretty much. Well, you know, when your back's up against the wall and you don't really have any other options, you would be amazed at what you're capable of.
Oh, no, trust me, I know. Trust me, I know. And so you're out there and it started to work. It started to take off.
Yeah, I threw a gypsy tea party, and I had a vision. I basically asked God what I could do to get out of this mess, and I had a vision of a gypsy tea party. And my grandma was gypsy from the Ukraine, and I thought, oh my God.
By the way, you don't mind that term, because I was told it was derogatory, so I just want to be sure.
it's not derogatory if it's used.
In other words, I'm a queer, and I can call another one a queer, but you know, I get it, okay? I will call you Roma. You can call yourself Gypsy. And we are talking with Zena Musica, the founder of Zena's Gypsy Tea, whose book, Life by the Cup, chronicles her adventures from that street corner to a multi-million dollar tea company in about 15 years. And by the way, her son is, in fact, I don't know if he's not, I don't want to say he's not sick anymore, but he's not as sick as he was then, correct?
Yeah, he's a healthy young 14 and a half year old.
That's incredible. What was your biggest challenge? Was it capital? Was money your biggest challenge? What was your biggest challenge?
Yeah, you know, I spent way too much time raising capital when we started to grow. I thought that saving the world through a cup of tea, you know, ending poverty for tea workers, I thought that it would not be as complex, but yeah, definitely funding was huge.
Yeah, as we all would find out. And you know, that is the importance about Zena's Gypsy Tea and Life by the Cup. It's the philosophy behind it, which you didn't just want to help yourself, you know, and you know, you weren't just about becoming the next Starbucks. You really were about exposing, which I'm all about, exposing people to tea, the ritual of tea, how tea can help and heal, and just the process of tea can help and heal, and then helping the people involved in the tea world.
Absolutely. I think that my experience with my son not having health insurance, having, you know, to rely on the system to get him an operation, having to fight the system, and then going to the tea field and meeting the tea workers for the first time, which I chronicle in the book, and realizing that they make just over a dollar a day. They had very little in the means of health care, if any, and their infant mortality rates were through the roof. I found that that was my destiny, was to help bring awareness to that and to express, you know, to the world that fair trade matters.
Right. And while doing it, while making a damn good cup of tea, which is Zena's Gypsy Tea, you can read the book Life by the Cup. It is an extraordinary journey of a single mom who I think you'll see a lot of yourself in, who then becomes the American dream, proving or disproving the CNN poll this week. It is not dead. It is alive and well in people like Zena Musica. Thank you so much for joining us. The book Life by the Cup is great, and your tea is delicious. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carell, so much. I'm honored.
Absolutely. I am Carell. You got to get the book, people. You really will see a lot of yourself in it, and I know a lot of us right now are disillusioned, and we're feeling we don't know what to do with ourselves. We need sort of like a goal or a purpose. When you read her book, you not only see how she reinvented herself, but how you can also help people around you as you do it. It's a great read. I suggest you go get it. I am Carell. Don't go anywhere except to my website, iamcarell.com. And while there, download the app, The Carell Cast. It's completely and totally free. After all, why would I charge? I've been giving it away for years.
You're listening to The Carell Show.